The eighth chapter. When a great crowd gathered, and people from town after town came to Jesus, he said in a parable, "A sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell on the path and was trampled on, and the birds of the air ate it up. Some fell on the rock, and as it grew up, it withered for lack of moisture. Some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew with it and choked it. Some fell into good soil, and when it grew, it produced 100-fold. As he said this, he called out, "Let anyone with ears to hear listen." Then his disciples asked him what this parable meant. He said, "To you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of God, but to others I speak in parables, so that looking they may not perceive and listening they may not understand." Now the parable is this: the seed is the word of God. The one on the path are those who have heard, and then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts so they may not believe and be saved. The ones on the rocks are those who, when they hear the word, receive it with joy. But these have no root. They believe only for a while, and in a time of testing fall away. As for what fell among the thorns, these are the ones who hear. But as they go on their way, they are choked by the cares and riches and pleasures of life, and their fruit does not mature. But as for that in the good soil, these are the ones who, when they hear the word, hold it fast in an honest and good heart and bear fruit with patient endurance." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated, and we invite the children to come forward for a short message. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. Good morning. Say, I have some grapes here, and we're going to sing the Fruit of the Spirit song to start. You guys have heard that maybe a little bit? So can we try that with the whole congregation? You want to help me lead it? Let's stand and do that real fast. And you guys, if you don't know it, you're going to learn quickly. Part of the words are right up there for you. So it starts by saying, "The fruit of the Spirit's not a grape. The fruit of the Spirit's not a grape. If you want to be a grape, you might as well hear it, because you can't be a fruit of the Spirit, because the fruits are love, joy, peace, and patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Love, joy, peace, and patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control." Okay, so what's the fruit of the Spirit today? Grapes and patience. Patience. So sit back down. And I think it's actually kind of neat that we're using grapes for the fruit of patience. I was thinking about that. And you know why I think it's good is because it takes patience if you grow together. If you think about it, every one of these, we think of this as a grape. But they don't grow alone, do they? They always grow like this. You want to eat that one? I knew you saw them earlier and were ready to try one, weren't you? So the grapes on here, let me give one to each of you, grow always together. And if we think about it, that's really what patience is. If you think about what the word patience, it's understanding that we grow together. And when we grow together, we think about the person that is by us. The other person, how they're growing, understanding that if we grow together, well, look at this. If this one grew too big, what could happen? There wouldn't be room for all the other grapes. There's smaller ones and bigger ones, but they all find a way to grow together, and even the smallest of ones. Tastes wonderful. So as we think about the word patience, what is a way that you've lived out patience in the world? Does anybody know? Or do I need to explain that more? What? You waited in long lines. Yeah. Why not? Hey, everybody, Sophia's here. Just bring her to the front. Wouldn't that be awesome? I mean, look, what if there was a line just for Sophia? Patience because you waited for an event that you were really excited about? Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. So sometimes we wait in all sorts of ways. And specifically, when we're talking about it in church, we're talking about patience with one another. Sometimes, has your brother or your sister or your mom or your dad not done something as fast as you'd like them to do it? Does that ever happen? Yeah. And sometimes you're just waiting. What are you going
to
say?
Once I went to Florida and I had to wait in this long line to go to a special event.
You waited in a long line, yeah. Yeah, well, sometimes we have to wait. But what we realize when we grow together, sometimes waiting allows somebody to be with us. And it allows us to find a way to work together better. And that's what patience is. And we're going to learn more about it in the sermon today as well. But can you pray with me? Dear God, thank you for the gift of patience. Give us more and an understanding of how we can love one another. Amen. Thank you, and you can go back to your seats. Would you like a grape? Good. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, in talking about patience, I wanted to start by thinking about how my patience is tried sometimes as a pastor. And so this is a confession that I like to make every once in a while. Pastor Lita and I do have, we are the front line at the church so often when people come up to the door and ask for help. And we want to help. We want to grow together, right? And it's hard sometimes because so often the people that come to the door, you don't feel like they're appreciating it, and you just want them to appreciate it. I think it's funny. We have one person who comes very regularly who, she's been coming for many years for help. And after a point where she was coming week after week, I said, you know, I can't support you week after week. How about we make it to where you can come every 3 months, and I'll give you a little something every 3 months. And she agreed to that. But now when she calls the church, if we have a volunteer at the front desk, they'll get the person saying, hi, this is so-and-so, and I'm calling to pick up my check. And it's one of those things where you hear it, and you're like, is that how we want that to look? Another person this week tried my patience a little bit because I know they had been asking for a little bit of money and I had said that I would give them a little something. But when they got there, I was on the phone. And sometimes I'm on my cell phone. I was in the parking lot moving back and forth because, well, I don't not move. So I was doing that and they saw me there and I saw them, but I was on the phone. All of a sudden, they laid out their horn, beep, to get a little help. Patience. However, all of that, I'm reminded of myself that each person, yes, sometimes we look and say, how can we best not enable and help people and support them? And I don't know all of the answers. But I do know that we're called to help. And I got a good story a long time ago. But in my keepsakes, I have a little note. It's a little card. It says on it, thank you for the $65 bus ticket, the Greyhound bus ticket that you gave me. It meant so much to me. I'm now in Flagstaff, Arizona. I got there all right. I don't get very many thank yous. We don't get very many thank yous. And it felt so good. And I'm reminded that we don't always know. We don't always know the gifts that we give. And so often, no, we don't get that thank you. We don't get that reminder. But sometimes we do. So patience. Patience is a word that when used biblically, mostly had to do with human-to-human behavior. It's important that we say that, because that standing in line thing, though that's often human, waiting for the pot to boil, those patience pieces are not actually the fruit of the Spirit that we're talking about. It's when our patience affects our relationships with one another. So a response to human interaction where one intentionally holds off enmity, avenging themselves, so to speak, and instead moves in relationship towards a mutual support and understanding. That's patience. Understanding that there is a way that we're growing together like those grapes. And that's important to understand. And to that, I want to add one other piece. Each week we pray in our worship service, "Your kingdom come, your will be done," or "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done." And of course, we're speaking to God in those moments. As we consider the spiritual gift of patience, I think it must be heard with this prayer in mind. To consider it a spiritual gift as Paul intended, I think we realize we need that direction. What are we going towards? Patience, as you say, "Your kingdom come, your will be done," is what we're looking for. Because a part of us is really tired of the broken parts of our world, aren't we? We're really tired of the things that aren't working right. We're really tired of those people who aren't showing patience themselves, and so we get impatient. And we want an immediacy that we don't always achieve. Without patience, we can boil over with anger. We can act rashly in a manner that doesn't reflect on what God is calling us to. Without patience, we cannot stop and think how the other person is viewing the world. We only see it how we view the world. Patience starts with our belief in a loving and merciful God, then. It starts with us centering our patience on our prayer of calling upon God's kingdom to come. Centering our patience on this God that we believe in, that we cry out to. Centering ourselves not on what we see every day, understand that, but on what we hope for every day. Casting our burdens aside, we need to cast our own misgivings, our own hypocrisies to the side, those that are readily evident in us, and believe that through the love of Jesus Christ, we can change the world. It's the center of our faith. It is this kingdom, not our own, that we center our lives on. One we see often in the mirror dimly. One that stood in the hearts of martyrs that gave their lives to proclaim the love of God throughout the Christian history. One that Martin Luther King Jr. dreamed about. On some days, this vision of God's kingdom is clearer than others. But on all days, we know more needs to be done. And so we call upon this gift of the Spirit, this gift of patience. Your kingdom come, God. Your will be done. Help it be done when I walk in the world today. It starts with us then recalling what Jesus said when asked, "What is the greatest gift of all of the laws?" And Jesus responded by saying, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. On these laws, all other laws hang." That's what Jesus said. That all laws are called to love God and our neighbor, and if they don't, we can ask ourselves, why are we doing this law? Or why are we putting this law above others? Your kingdom come, your will be done, as opposed to my kingdom come, my will be done. It starts with us realizing how we so often do not love our neighbors as ourselves. That it is in our DNA, in some way, to be self-preservationist, to put ourselves before our neighbor. It's what probably has allowed us to survive in so many years in our ecosystem, in the world that we live in. But for God's will to be done, for God's kingdom to come, God says we must love our neighbor. We must see how we are connected like those grapes. And to love God, we must be aware of how our kingdom can so often stand opposed to God's kingdom. How our kingdom builds walls, classifies each other as something other than the children of God. But if we say, "Your kingdom come, your will be done," we are acknowledging that our borders are not always aligned with God's borders. We need help. We are attempting to give up that me-first mindset and say, "Okay, God, how can your kingdom come?" Love God, love your neighbor. Not one of those over the other. These two together. In other words, if the law doesn't love my neighbor, why? Does this law reflect on who I am as a Christian? Does this law keep me aligned to the kingdom of God that has called me through the Holy Spirit to begin to usher in your kingdom? And now we turn to the illusion created by our gospel today, this parable that Jesus tells, the words of a parable that a sower is there sowing seeds, wondering where these good seeds will take roots. Where will they be planted? Where will the roots survive? Sowing all the more. Now the person without patience, they get angry with the process of sowing. It's a lot easier, actually, to simply say, what are you doing scattering the seeds all over the place? Don't you see? That's good soil right there. Plant it there. What are you doing planting it everywhere? It's easy to look at this and say, well, yeah, that would make sense. Plant it in that good soil. We know that that's rocky soil. Why would we waste our time with soil that we deem infertile? Why would we waste our time with that that's incapable of taking up roots? It doesn't belong. But that's not the spirit of what this parable teaches us. God alone knows where the seed will take root. God's calling us to spread the seed everywhere. God's telling us that no, not all of it will take root, but you keep spreading it. Pastors, you out in the crowd, you in your neighborhoods, spread seeds of love and hope, not just to those who you know will accept that, but to all people, to all of our neighbors. God alone knows which of our neighbors will become a blessing in our own lives. Sometimes when we hand out a gift to somebody in this church, somebody who walks in and walks out, no, we don't always get that thank you note. We don't know where the roots spread, where they wither. But we know that sometime those blessings come. And even they sometimes come when we don't get the thank you note. Sometimes those thank yous come to another person. Sometimes the love is shared throughout the world. Sometimes that person comes up, sprouts roots, and starts sharing this kingdom of God that was given to them, not here, but where they are. So our job is to sow those seeds in every place that we can, to share love in every place that we can, to share God's love where you think no love will be returned. And then be prepared, because you will be amazed. Ah, but returning to patience for one more moment, patience as our fruit. I do want to say, I hope you have not confused patience with passivity, because they are not the same. This is not waiting for God with no actions of our own. This is allowing God to do what God will do, and you to align your thoughts, your prayers, your action with a God of grace that we believe in, that we hope in, so that our hands might contribute to that work. Patience is not stopping what you're doing. Patience is living out what you're doing as a calling from God. So no, patience is not passivity. It's not apathy or despair, because we do have a calling from God. We do have gifts to share. And as a church, we can come together and cultivate those gifts in one another. Patience, then, is this. It's a vision of God that is thoughtfully placed into our vantage point so that when we view the world, we look at it as God looks at it, with grace, love, and mercy. With patience, we realize that the picture will always be less complete than we like. We are not God. We do not have all the answers. But it is not our kingdom that we seek. It is not our will we seek. It is God's alone. So we are patient. We try not to exert over and above what God is calling us to. We ask ourselves, looking back at our footsteps from yesterday, am I in line with what God is calling me to do? And when I am not in line with what God is calling me to do, what must I do? Is there places where I should retrace my step, where I should go back? Or should I let that go and move forward here? But we must not be passive and lose sight that we have an ability to walk in this world as children of God. And that means we have the ability to share this love of God. But finally, we need to hear that again. We need to remind ourselves that as patient as some of us are, and as not patient as some of us feel, we have a very patient God. One who has loved you all of your life. One who has looked at you and has seen you at your worst and has seen you at your best and continues to cheer you on, continues to love you, continues to want to see you thrive, bear fruit, be a gift to the world around us. Can we be as patient as God is with us? No. But with God's patience behind us, we can bear fruit for a world that needs it. We can be a gift. We can look to the world with love. Amen.